Hello, welcome back to Going There. It's Christian and Samantha back with a guest. We've had a lot of guests recently.
Yes, we are so excited to today welcome Shelby. So nice to meet you, Shelby. We're excited to have you on.
A fellow podcaster too. We were just saying it's so great when we get to chat with another podcaster.
It is. We have this podcast sister code. We just understand each other. And so, I've already had so much fun chatting with you guys, and I'm super excited to have this conversation today.
Yeah, yes. Thanks for coming on.
Even before we got on mic, we're all talking about what is podcast world like? It's craziness. You don't really get it till you get it. And here we all are. But we will learn more from Shelby. But why don't you just start us off there a little bit? Tell us more about you. Get to know you from our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, Going There podcast peeps, I've heard that y'all are amazing from Christian and Samantha, so I'm excited to meet you.
Yes.
My name is Shelby, and I am married to a wonderful man named Kent. We've been married for 12 years, which means that for 12 years now, he's been the cool, calm, collected to my scattered, crazy
love
personality.
It. Love that. That's good.
Just endlessly thankful for him. And we have 4 kiddos. So my oldest 3 are boys, which means that my house is never clean and never quiet.
Wow.
How many times have you gone to the emergency room?
Oh, my goodness. So I only have one.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good.
But I don't know if we're up to 6 or 7 with him.
Oh, wow. So he's really done it for all of them. He's paid enough to do is for each boy.
Yeah. The stitches, the broken bones, all of the things.
So what are your age ranges for your 4 kids?
So my oldest is 10, which has been a whole thing because I don't know how old you guys' kids are, but this hitting double digits thing, we went to an event at his school last Friday, a week ago. Mm-hmm. And when we got there, he said, "Hey, Mom, would it be okay if I walk around with my friends instead of with you guys?"
No.
Wah, wah. And I was totally, bud. Unrelated, I have a lot of allergies and my eyes are watering right now. But
you're I'm going to go to the car and just be sobbing. But go have fun.
So we're walking through that season with our oldest of wanting to encourage that independence and loving seeing that. But also realizing we only have a few years before he is an adult. And then we have an 8-year-old. He's the ER kid. We have a 6-year-old kindergartner who is our fiery one. I think you just have one that always just has a fire burning in their chest. You know, it's him. And then our youngest is a 3-year-old little girl. And with 3 older brothers, she just is the total princess of the family. Gets waited on hand and foot by everyone. And so it's a pretty fun dynamic in our house.
That's so fun. I actually love a young sister with a bunch of boys because I'm I mean, she just will be taken care of so well. She'll be looked after.
I love the 3 too. And I don't know you at all or how you thought about it, but I'm assuming maybe for the 4th, were you obviously hoping for a girl or at that point where you were actually another boy would be great?
Okay, we had always said 4 kids.
Yeah.
Before we even got married, we were we'd love to have 4 kids. We just wanted a big, loud house. And when the first 3 were boys, we were we're just going to have a boy family. Mm-hmm. That's it. We'll just have all boys. And I was legitimately shocked when the ultrasound tech said, "It's a girl." And it was during COVID. And so my husband was
"Are you sure?
You can be there in person." I know. And so I got to tell you, it is so sweet having a little girl. I absolutely love it. But I also really love being a boy mom. And I didn't think I would, but I really love it. So I just love the way the Lord built our family. And I think it's really fun mothering both.
I mean, having, you said, the girl after 3 boys, I just cannot imagine how well-adjusted, but also confident your daughter is going to be because she had these older protective brothers, but also she can hang with the boys. She's not afraid to get a little hurt, with, I'm sure, all the chaos. Totally. So that's really sweet.
And she's going to have the sweetest husband, I'm sure, because he would have gone through the ringer of the 3 brothers. He would be well approved of.
I love that.
That's awesome. Yes, but tell us about the rest of your life. What do you do for work? Where do you guys live? Tell us all the things.
So about 9 months ago, so our family of 6, we moved from Kansas City, Missouri, and that's where my husband and I had lived our entire marriage. That's where all our kids are born. We moved to Houston, Texas for my job with a company called The Daily Grace Co. And so the last year of our lives has been a lot of embracing change, a lot of tackling big emotions with our kids mm-hmm. as they adjust to living in a new place. I told some friends early on, right after we moved, I said, if I was writing an autobiography of my life right now, I would title it, and this would be about my kids, I can't handle my big emotions and yours too. Like that's been yes. our season in moving, is just like having a lot of big emotions as adults, just trying to figure out this new place, but then also helping our kids as well. In the midst of that, and I think this is so true of every difficult season we walk through, it's truly been a gift to depend on the Lord in a new way, to realize mm-hmm. all the ways in which the comforts of maybe being in a place that felt familiar mm-hmm. were just making it where I could rely on myself in some things. And so it's been a really interesting season, a really good season. We also really enjoy the area we live in Houston. It's super fun, great weather. And I moved here for my work, which I totally love. So I work for the Daily Grace Co. If you're not familiar with the Daily Grace Co., we make really beautiful, really easy to use, but theologically rich Bible studies and faith resources. And my job here is the director of content. And so that means I get to oversee all of our writers and all of our podcasters and get to dream up amazing new Bible studies and products that we'll release for adults, for kids, for couples, for teens. And so it really is my absolute dream job. I love everyone I work with. I love what I get to do on a daily basis. And I'm so glad that the Lord has brought me here.
That's awesome. For people who might not be familiar with Daily Grace Co., will you just share a little bit more about the ministry, the mission of it? Actually, I'm even curious, like, how did it come about? How did you get involved? How long have you guys been running this ministry? Share a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Daily Grace Co.'s story is not mine, but I will tell it. So the founders, Kristen and Jeremy, they founded the Daily Grace Co. actually 10 years ago next month, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
I'm getting the chance to tell this story right now. We're about to have like a big 10-year celebration with our team. But it actually was started out of grief and loss. Jeremy and Kristen's second daughter was stillborn mm-hmm. just a couple weeks mm-hmm. before her due date. And obviously that is a tragedy that you just can't fathom as a parent. Mm-hmm. And so in the midst of their grief and loss, they just turned to scripture. They really didn't know where else to go. They just turned to scripture and God really met them there. And so a few months later, Kristen had been just finding so much comfort in scripture. She'd been journaling, she'd been writing. And she thought, man, I wonder if the things that God has taught me through my grief could help someone else. Mm-hmm. And so she put together a little Bible study called Joy in Christ. And she was like, I'm going to put it on Etsy. And I think like my mom will buy a copy. I think there's like two ladies from my church who might buy a copy. And so they printed it at Kinko's. So they printed it at Kinko's. They sold it on Etsy. They thought they would sell just a couple of copies, but they ended up selling so many copies. People really just connected with Kristen and Jeremy's story. I think when you see somebody go through something that tragic and their faith holds them firm through it, like we want to know and understand that. And so in the past 10 years, since then, it just continued to grow and grow and grow. Kristen continued writing Bible studies, brought on other writers to come in and help with that as well. So now we have a team of over 50 people, and the past 2 years, both years, we've sold over 1 million Bible studies.
That's so insane.
It's pretty incredible just what God is doing and just the stories that we get to hear from people about the ways that our resources have helped them grow in their faith is like incredible. It's so cool to be a part of.
It's so cool, guys. I hope that as you hear Shelby talk about the Daily Grace Co., if you don't know this organization yet, you get to know them.
Great resource for our listeners.
Samantha and I have been just recipients and customers of their products because it's just amazing. You guys put out really encouraging content for really any age. So that's really fun to see and just really awesome. So thanks for all your work.
Excited
you're involved with that.
Yeah, it's a blast.
So kind of in the story you were sharing about the founder of Daily Grace Co. and in all of our lives, even with your recent transition, you know, with your move, some of us become Christians and there can be this expectation that maybe life, maybe there will still be some challenges, but when you have Jesus, like everything will be okay. And I think if you've been following God for more than probably like a day, you know that your relationship, maybe emotionally even, or just like life circumstances really ebbs and flow. And so have you ever felt like you've been in a season where you're like, okay, I know what I know about God. I know truth, but I feel like this lull in my relationship with the Lord. Like, have you ever been there? And if so, like, how have you moved past that or worked through that season?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think we've all been there. Yeah. And I think that talking about it is going to be really helpful to people because I think most people feel like they're the only person mm-hmm. who's been there. And when I'm thinking about sharing about this, I want to talk about like my end of it and how I've felt. But I felt like it was really important to start with the fact that when we talk about like these ebbs and flows, like these ups and downs in our relationship with God, I just want to be really clear that God's love and commitment mm-hmm. to his people never changes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things when I'm trying to figure out an answer to a question like, does the way that God relates to me, does that change over time? Is that what is causing mm-hmm. these feelings to like ebb and flow? One of my favorite ways to answer those questions is to like look through scripture and from front to back and just say, okay, how many instances can I find where there's a relationship between God and a person? And what does it look like when something changes in that relationship? And so mm-hmm. when we look throughout scripture, we can even start with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they have this amazing garden that they've been put in. God gives them this commission to like rule and subdue the earth. And then what do? They sin. Yeah. But in that moment, God doesn't abandon them. He actually promises them a savior to come and help deal with their sin. And as we keep moving through scripture, we see Abraham and he has this promise of a child, but it's taking a little too long. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, okay, I'll take things into my own hands and I'll have a child with Hagar instead of with Sarah, like God has promised. And so we see maybe like a change in the relationship. But what does God do? God still keeps his promise and he gives Abraham a son with Sarah, even though it didn't look like the time frame that Abraham was hoping for. And I can relate a lot to the Israelites. Like I sometimes can't get it together either. But even through all their disobedience and their distrust of God, he is just relentlessly faithful to them. His covenant and his promises never change. And so these ebbs and flows in our relationship with God. And I came up with four reasons, and I want to talk about all four of them because I think there might be different people in different seasons who relate to maybe one, maybe y'all relate to like one of these, but the other three, you're like, I haven't experienced that so much. So first I want to start with there's times when I feel calloused. There's times when I am experiencing pain and hardship, and that's causing me to withdraw from prayer, to withdraw from my time in scripture. Maybe it's because I'm blaming God for what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have been begging him to be present with me and to help me in it, and I'm unsure if he's doing that or not. Or maybe I'm just literally so overwhelmed with how difficult life is that opening my Bible feels like too much on some days. And so I think there's times when there's calluses on our heart that are just painful and hard. Other times, when I felt like this ebb and flow, I think it's when I'm confused. The Bible is confusing. We've all been confused reading through a passage before and thought, what does that mean? And I think culture can impact our understanding of scripture at times and make us feel even more confused.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when I'm struggling to make sense of my faith, I pull back. As I was writing this down, I was thinking about Algebra 2 in high school.
Oh, gosh.
That class.
Haven't thought about that in a while. Yeah.
I know. But like that class like did not compute in my brain.
Same. And
like
that was me in statistics.
I liked school, but not that class. And mm-hmm. so I just like pulled back. I was like, I'm just going to skate through. I'm just going to do what I can. But like I can't invest in this right now, mm-hmm. you know? But sometimes we have that attitude towards the Lord when our faith feels confusing or hard.
Hey, going there, girls. We hope you're loving today's episode. We just have a quick favor. If you don't mind leaving us a 5-star rating and review, whether you listen on Apple or Spotify, you can just click that little 5 stars. Or if you're on Apple, leave a little review. And that is seriously such an easy way to help other people find Going There. And we so appreciate it. Now let's get back to our conversation.
The next one, and this is the one that I probably struggle with the most in this season, is just apathy. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I just feel apathetic towards God mm-hmm. because spending my time on other things just sounds more enjoyable.
Yep.
Like I'd rather watch Netflix than pray. I'd rather scroll on Instagram than open my Bible. I think that our lives get so busy that we don't leave ourselves room in our minds or in our emotions to like go to the Lord. And so we just get apathetic towards it. Mm-hmm. And then the last reason I could think of was just when I'm unrepentant. When there's sin in my life that the Holy Spirit is convicting me of, and I am just not ready to let go of it yet. I don't want to have to deal with it. I don't, because I know if I go before the Lord that I'm going to have to say, yes, that is wrong, mm-hmm. and I need to change. And that feels just really, really hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think for me, those are the reasons, and there's probably plenty of other ones, but those are the biggest reasons where I feel these like big ebbs and flows in my relationship with the Lord.
That is so good. Those that list good. Is like mm-hmm. very just like thorough and thought Practical. Through. I mean, I can so relate to the apathetic and the callous. Like I'm like those things just are really deep. I mm-hmm. hate it, but I really struggle with bitterness sometimes. And that just really like builds in me and grows in me. And I have to be really just like call myself into or like ask the Lord to call like, hey, you need to be humble mm-hmm. and you need to like rid yourself of this because I've actually built up a bunch of bitterness that has then grown into this callous. And so I just love how you describe that. Because yeah, we wanted to have this conversation mm-hmm. because like this is such a familiar thing to us and it actually, no part of it is a reflection of God and his character. Yeah. It's all a reflection mm-hmm. of us and just our humanness and our brokenness yeah. and sinfulness. And so I think that's so good. I love that you started there because I want no one to be confused that although sometimes it ebbs and flows for us, that God does not ebb and flow, that he is consistent. Mm-hmm. He is faithful. He never changes. We change. Mm-hmm. We are inconsistent. We all know that about ourselves, but sometimes it's so easy to say, where is God? When really it's probably something of our finiteness and humanness.
Yeah, like not understanding. Because we are sometimes in situations like hardships, circumstances in life that I have been able and learned I can be honest with God and say like, mm-hmm. God, it feels like you have forgotten about me. It feels like you are so distant and far from mm-hmm. me. But it's almost like the more I've gotten comfortable with being able to say, or even like, God, I'm angry right now that my story, I actually have a similar story to the founders of Daily Grace Co. And I just remember some of those days being like, I am so angry that you would let this happen to me. And just like all of those emotions. And it's like the second you can bring that to God, it created a way for him to enter in. It's like when I would have weeks or days or seasons where I like felt that anger, but it created like this distance between God and I. And so there's some real life circumstances there. You can feel like, wow, I know all of this to be true about God. You say you're a God that loves me, that wants good for me, that meets me where I am. But then I look at my life circumstances. And again, in our finiteness, like Christian was saying, we just can't comprehend the way that God loves us and wants to work in our life. And, you know, we've kind of been on one this whole spring about like, when did we ever get the idea that life was going to be easy? Like, where in scripture does it say that? We have almost just been, it's our humanness too, probably just making us think that we might not have to endure hard things if we know who God is and if we follow him. And if I'm just obedient enough, then my life will be all these blessings. Like culture kind of tells us that our whole world is about like, if you do the right things, you will have the right life that you can kind of curate for yourself. And it's like, well, scripture actually teaches us the exact opposite. So the more we can kind of become comfortable with like, this is going to be really hard, but I have you to cling to. Yeah, I just think that truth is so important for us to know. And it takes like walking through kind of those ebbs and flows to fully understand that. So I don't think we should shy away from times that you feel distant from God, or like you're saying, all of us have probably felt it. To me, it's usually a red flag that I need to like look deeper into something if I'm feeling these ebbs and flows and feeling like I'm in a season of distance from God, because there's usually, like you said, one of those things going on the surface.
Yeah, Shelby, I'm right now thinking of the girl who's listening to this podcast thinking like, wow, that was awesome how she could identify all those things. But like, how do I identify it? Like, what mm-hmm. am I burdened with? Or how am I not really understanding the truth about who God says he is or who he says I am? So can you take us through that? Like, how did you even get to a place of being able to identify those things for yourself? But then what does it look like to walk in faithfulness, even when you're feeling that hard thing?
Yeah, I think that is such a good question. So first of all, I would say that what's helped me identify those honestly is being in scripture mm-hmm. and seeing the stories of how people in scripture who had all the same struggles as I do, who experienced similar things that I do, watching how they responded to God and watching how God responded to them. And so I think a lot of times we try to like self-diagnose, like that's a really trendy thing right now mm-hmm. to figure out everything that's wrong with you and then fix it. Like,
yep. And be able to recognize it right away. If you know yourself, yes. you'll be able to. Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, I think it's a pretty slow process, if I can be totally honest. I think what you're talking about is sanctification, mm-hmm. is the Holy Spirit working in you to bring you into a more intimate and close relationship with the Lord where you are more like Jesus. And so that happens slowly over time. That happens by being in scripture. That happens by responding to the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to figure it out in a week. We're just not going to. I think of Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, and it talks about laying aside the hindrances and the sin that so easily ensnare us and running with endurance the race that is before us. And then it tells us to do all of that by keeping our eyes on Jesus, mm-hmm. who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I think sometimes we can think that we're the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Like we have to start our faith, we have to keep it going, but that's Jesus. And so maybe that's like a very Sunday school answer, but my answer to that would be to, as often as you can, for as long as you can, keep your gaze on Jesus and just allow him to walk with you through this process, because it's something between you and the Lord, and he will walk you through that. He really will.
I like that you say, like, this is the Sunday school answer, but mm-hmm. I'm like, I think that's the answer that we all know, but sometimes we just don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. We're like, no, can you just tell me the steps, like A through C
that
I'm supposed to take? Like, can you just tell me, like, what can I do tomorrow? What do I do tomorrow night? What do I do the next day? Mm-hmm. What do I do? We just want it to be really plain and simple. And we want it to be a step-by-step process. But God, even you said it earlier that God in his character himself, we even read through scripture that when these people sin or when these people become calloused or when these people say like, no, I don't actually believe you have good for me and I'm going to do it my own way. Every single time we see him say, come closer to me, be mm-hmm. with me. I'm going to come closer to you. Come near me. I mean, he's saying all of these things all throughout scripture. And for some reason, we don't think, oh, no, mm-hmm. the answer is to come closer to him. The answer is to go read my Bible the more. The answer is to talk to him in my life more. We try to do everything else to not do those things. Yep. So what does that look like, though? Because I want to, again, have empathy for the person who's hearing that. It's like, but what does that actually look like? Like, that feels like I'm just kind of going through the motions then in my relationship with Jesus. Like, talk to that person. How do we move from that place of feeling like I'm just going through the motions to then it actually becoming this fruitful, like, relationship that we have?
Yeah, I think it's so often how much this topic of like our faith becoming a series of boxes to check comes up. Mm-hmm. We're just like going through the motions. Because when you're struggling, for any reason, your relationship with God is in a spot where it's feeling, I don't know, dry or difficult. I think what happens is we start to feel ashamed that we're not checking the boxes. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, oh, I'm a bad Christian now because I haven't opened my Bible in 3 weeks. Or I'm a bad Christian because I can't find the words to pray or I don't know how to pray. I actually want to look at the Pharisees for a second. I think this might help us in Matthew 23. So the Pharisees were really good at checking boxes, like so good that they tithed on their herbs that they grew. Mm-hmm. Like they're like, yes, 1/10 of my dill, I'm going to bring it. Like they, I cannot imagine like going out to my garden and like trying to figure out like, okay, what's 1/10 of like this mm-hmm. tomato plot, you know? Like they checked all the boxes. But then we see in Matthew 23, Jesus comes to them and he has like these 7 woes to them. And so he calls them like really intense things like hypocrites. And he says they're whitewashed tombs that are beautiful on the outside, but dead on the inside. And he calls them blind and lawless. And you read through it and you're like, if I'm going to be anything in this life, it's not a Pharisee. Like right. I do not want to be what the Pharisees are. But then here's the point I'm trying to get to. At the end of this chapter, he doesn't say, so do better. He actually gets really, really sad. And in verse 37, he says, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Hmm. And so the moral of the story is, hey, you've been trying so hard to check all these boxes, but I just wanted you.
Yeah.
I just wanted you to come to me. I just wanted you to come to me as your savior, as your hope, as your refuge, as your safe place. I just wanted to be near you. I wanted to have a relationship with you. And so I think in those times when we go through the motions, that verse has like hit me square in the forehead so many times. Like, oh, he just wanted me to come to him, but I wasn't willing. Hmm. And so when we go through the motions, I think we can ask ourselves just a really simple question, like, what would it look like for me to draw near to Jesus today? Mm-hmm. And you know what? That might look like just sitting down and being willing to open your Bible. And I know that that feels really hard sometimes. And so something I often encourage people to do if they're like, I'm just getting started with a quiet time, or I'm just getting back into reading scripture, is to literally set a timer for 2 minutes. Like, set a timer for 2 minutes, open up your Bible and just read for 2 minutes. And then set a timer for 2 minutes and then just pray for 2 minutes and then close it and walk away. And then try the same thing again the next day. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes just starting really, really small, giving something that feels like, okay, I can do 4 minutes. Like, yeah. I can do 4 minutes even mm-hmm. when it feels so hard, because I know that God is going to meet you there in his word.
Yeah, there's been some seasons I've shared about on the podcast where I was so compelled to spend time with God for the discipline and like the obedience of doing it. And it was that thing of like, you know, we talk a lot about, you're not always going to like close your Bible after a quiet time or doing your Bible study and like feel this emotional stirring. And I think sometimes we get that confused of thinking like, because that is our experience, and the Holy Spirit, I believe, does work a lot of ways kind of like that. That's not always going to be the case though. And so I think what I was doing a few years ago in the season is I was equating like, I'm not like feeling anything from this. Like, what is this even for? Like, why am I even doing this? And I sometimes think, like you said, just the obedience of doing that, I ended up seeing God's faithfulness and fruit from that time play out in my life for the next like year after that, into some situations that I could have never seen myself walking through, but I still had that discipline. And I think sometimes when I've been in that place, even just being able to say to God, like, God, I do not feel a desire to spend time with you right now. Will you help reignite that desire in my heart? Will you remind me of how much you love me? Just pull me back into your presence so that I can kind of have this encouragement to want to wake up before my kids or stay up at night or whatever that looks like during your day on your commute, listening to the Bible app or whatever that is. Will you give me that desire again? Because sometimes I think me starting with that prayer just acknowledges like, hey, I know there's sinfulness going on in myself that's keeping me from you. Like, will you help me get through that? And so sometimes for a practical, it's like, again, you don't want to hear it, but it's like, you got to just read your Bible and you got to just pray even when you don't feel like doing it. So I love that timer example as well.
I think we can learn to just pray really honestly too. Like Psalm 22 begins with, my God, why have you abandoned me? Mm-hmm. And I think to your point, sometimes we think that our prayers need to look a certain way. But when we spend time in the Psalms, we see that people pray all sorts of ways and with all sorts of emotions. Mm-hmm. And they don't veil them or hide them or try to calm them down first. They just bring them to the Lord. And so I think there's a lot of value, just like you're saying, in learning to pray really, really, really honestly and just bringing yourself as you are to the Lord.
Yeah. You've shared like so many good pieces of wisdom, like practical things. But if you could just encourage our girls, our listeners, whether they're in this spot right now, or we all know we could easily end up there or have been there in the past, what's some encouragement you could leave our listeners with just how they can view their time with Jesus or desire to spend time with the Lord?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the most helpful thing for me is just to remember the gospel, remembering that I have peace with God, not because my belief in him is perfect, not because I'm always able to execute a perfect quiet time, and not because I never have questions or doubts or struggles. I have peace with God because of Christ. And so again, just that focus on Jesus as the one who initiated my relationship with God, who keeps my relationship with God, and who will keep me securely for all eternity, I think is like just so, so helpful. And I think we've been talking too about this desire that things would be better than they are. We look at stuff around us and we just think, man, it wasn't supposed to be like this. Like, it wasn't supposed to be like this. The other thing I would just tell you is you're right. Mm-hmm. It wasn't supposed to be like that. But that longing that you have for perfection will only be met in Christ in eternity. And so the lifeline that you have here and now is to be in his presence, to pray to him, to pour out your heart to him, to be in scripture. But you also have the hope and the promise that one day all those things are going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And so if we're trying to fix all those things here and now, we're just rushing ahead. We're rushing ahead of God's plan. We can't do that. But what we can do is hold on to the lifelines that he's given us, which he says are enough for life and godliness. And we can look forward to the promise of one day when really all things will be made right.
Mm-hmm. And what an awesome hope and promise, because I think even in the season, God is teaching me, like, it is okay to say, like you were saying, Samantha, just deal with the messy thing. And even in my acknowledgement of my mess and the world's mess, I then even put God in his rightful place, that I'm like, well, praise that you are not like this world and that you want all things to be made new. And it really is a way in our messiness and craziness of this world that we can look to him and say, no, but you are greater and you are good and something worth pursuing and spending time with. So thank you, Shelby, just for our time today, for your wisdom. We will obviously make sure to link up all of the things that people can find at the Daily Grace Co., because we just appreciate the work you guys are doing and all that you're bringing to people and the resources.
Yeah, we're so thankful that there's people out there that can meet girls. And I love that everything too, can I just say, is like really well done aesthetically, because that's important too, you know?
It is.
Yeah, I love that.
We appreciate it. So thank you for your time today, and just thanks for all the work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun to talk about. And yeah, it's just always a joy for me to just encourage somebody to just keep going, keep persevering, because the Lord is good and we have just such a good promise in him.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. Man. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for going there with us.
If you loved what you heard, don't forget to follow along with us at Going There, the podcast.
And it also means so much to us if you subscribe to our podcast and shared it with a friend.
Talk to you soon.